EXG News time is 9:08. All right, this, I know that I'm going to get blowback for this, but this is my favorite guest I've had yet on the show. This is Southern U Talk with Dale Desmond. I am Dale Desmond. Man, that's a good thing that I'm here on my own show. Natalie Larson in studio. Good morning, Natalie. How are you, young lady?
So good this morning. It's nice to have me here.
All right. You don't have to have the headphones on if you don't want. I just thought you might enjoy some music to jam to this morning.
There you go.
All right, man, we have got a lot going on. You and I have been friends for, I don't know, several years. When I had an opening yesterday, I texted you, and I got to get better at this. Here's my problem, Natalie. I'm kind of a spaz when it comes to a lot of things, and so I'm not super organized. And so I'm always like night before, like, oh, I wonder who I should have on the show tomorrow. And then to people that are not radio people, you're like, you can't just put a microphone in front of me and expect me to do something great. You got to give me some time. And for me, I'm like, I don't know, you put a captive audience and a microphone, I'll go all day. I mean, I do this for a living. So we chatted last night, a couple days ago, about some of the stuff we want to talk about. First of all, let's say somebody just moved here, California, or from wherever, Salt Lake, just moved here, and they're hearing this new voice on the radio. Her name is Natalie Larson. They hear that she's on the city council. Talk about you. Grew up here, where, kids, family, the whole thing, real quick.
Well, first, I'm not good at this microphone thing. People often tell me to slow down, speak in full sentences, get my thoughts together.
Yeah.
And it happened last week at city council meeting. But I am native to Southern Utah. I was born in Iron County.
Okay.
But I moved here when I was 3 years old. Yep. I think I have sand in my shoes that will never come out from this area. Yep. I've lived here most of my life, all my life, except for those 3 years. My husband and I ran Larson's Frost Stop. Well, his family is the one, the Larson's, in the formerly Larson's Frost Stop. He started out about running out for his family about 18, at 18 years old, and I married him, and we ran it about 20 years, and then we sold it, and then we have other little businesses, and we have some cattle that are pets.
Yeah, and I got you out of calving this morning.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
No, that's an incredible, that is an incredible thing. I mean, who doesn't? I mean, and those calves are so cute. The neighbors love them.
Would you let me come, when you guys have a calf you think is going to be born, would you let me come and, I don't have to help. I just want to come and see how it all goes down. Is it, it's not a spectator sport, though, is it? It's not like something like, hey, guys, come on over.
We kind of, you know, they like some privacy, not that, you know, they have calves out on the range, but you try not to wind them up. So usually we try to watch at a distance, and you can do that. You can watch at a distance. But sometimes they have to have a little help, and that's probably what's going to happen this morning.
I'm so glad I'm here then. I'm glad I'm here. It's the same reason that it sounds like it's like we don't need somebody running their mouth and distracting mom from birthing a calf. That's the same reason that I have never been into hunting. I'm not against it. I'm not like, you know, afraid of that stuff. Nobody ever wanted to take me because, guess why?
You'd cry.
I know, because I wouldn't shut up.
Oh,
and nothing would ever get close enough.
That's a good thing, though, because the hunt is not about getting an animal for me. It's about the experience of being in the mountains, making memories, cooking over the fire,
those things.
That's the good part of hunting.
Yeah.
Being out without any technology, just enjoying an excuse to get there.
I like it. I like it. She's at Natalie Larson, St. George City Council. You guys are getting ready to wrap up this year. Do we have one more? Are we done with meetings for this year?
We are done with the meetings this year.
Okay. The main thing I wanted to talk about, the number one thing I wanted to talk about, I had Brian Therian on yesterday and got into it a little bit, but I'd like to know, what is the process for when Jimmy Hughes, who's been on the city council, will move to be the mayor? We have an empty seat. Now, anybody can come in and go through a process of being appointed by the sitting city council to fill Jimmy's seat. As Michelle Randall moves out of the seat of the mayor, Jimmy moves in. His city council seat is vacant. What's the process for filling that seat in a layman's terms? I know the basics of it, but I'm curious how things look from your side of it.
Well, it is quite a process, and it's a legal process. So I'm going to give you my thoughts on it, but people really need to go back to the city website and verify that, because legal and the city clerk will have it all spelled out.
You can give it a 30,000-foot view of it. Right.
So what will happen is on January 5th, Mayor Hughes will be sworn in, and at that point, his seat becomes vacant. And we want anybody in the city to come to city chamber, the council chambers that day.
And what's the day?
January 5th, Monday, January 5th at noon. And so Jimmy and Michelle Tanner and I will all be sworn in that day, which leaves a vacancy for Jimmy's seat.
Because you and Michelle were just re-elected, right?
So that's a Monday. And so at that day, the city clerk will have posted on the city website exactly what takes place. But this is likely what it looks like. You will put in an application just like I did when I ran for city council. And she will have to verify that you've been a resident long enough and some other things and fill out that application. And because there's no campaigning, there will likely be a resume and it could be a question asked that needs to be submitted with that in some kind of timely manner.
How long do people have to, do they get to stand in front of the city council and make a pitch, like an elevator pitch? You got 1 minute, you got 2 minutes. Is there one of that? Because I'm curious if in the past, like if there's people like that are hitting the buzzer, like, shut up, sit down.
Having been part of that before.
Yeah. Is that how you got?
No.
Okay.
I did that. I was part of the vote.
Yeah.
I mean, it is very nerve-wracking. Yeah. Not as nerve-wracking as campaigning.
Sure.
Campaigning is, and it's a long process. And so
expensive right.
But on the other point of this, you have to realize these people, and I think when I did, there was 28. These people are putting themselves out on the line too.
Yeah, for sure.
They're like, I want that seat. This is why I want the seat. This is, I don't know what they're going to say in their little resume bio. But they have one or two pages to do this. So how do you explain to four people why they should fill that seat?
Yeah.
And so to me, that you have to be very thoughtful on your approach. And obviously I failed last time.
Yeah.
But then I ran for election and I won.
And you won, right.
So in saying that, but then they will come on.
Twice. You've been elected twice now.
Yes.
Yeah, that's super cool.
Anyways, and so then on the 22nd of January, they will all come before city council.
Yeah.
After they've met the criteria and they will stand before us and it will be in the order of whatever the attorney general says the ballot is, like how they scramble the last name.
Okay, yeah.
That's how that order will go. And so they will get up and for however long is decided, they'll get up and pitch and then we get a vote.
Yeah. How long after, let's say the last person, and maybe you don't know this, because I imagine it depends on how many people apply, how long from when the last person finishes speaking, do you guys go into a jury room and you debate it or are you voting as you go along? I'm curious how that goes.
In prior years, as in all meetings when there's four city council members present, if there's more than two, three creates a quorum. So anytime we discuss something, it has to be in the public. So it will be across the dais.
Okay.
It will be a discussion that happens that the full public can hear us go through the process, whether there is a long discussion before, whether there's a vote right off the bat, like let's just vote and the vote will be public.
Yeah.
It's not like cast your ballot. Nobody knows what I voted for. People will know who every one of us voted for.
Yeah.
And then we go from there.
Okay. I know. I like that because,
I'm glad you do. I'm glad you like that.
But it offers transparency, and I think that's what people of St. George in the last few years have asked for, is transparency, right? That's what I've heard in a lot of the in the campaigns and a lot of the people, you know, in the radio ads and different things. People say, we promise transparency, and maybe there has and maybe there hasn't been, and you can debate that in the past. But I think this offers transparency, although it does offer you to go, here's why I don't like you. And maybe it doesn't get into that. I don't know.
I think that's, but any council vote I make is like that. I feel like a lot of times I have to look at what's best for my city, not what's best for me personally, not best for my friends, not best for this business that I love.
Yeah.
But I just looked over across from my house the other day, and there was another field getting excavated.
Yeah.
And my heart broke. And, you know, I voted on that because that was those people's property rights.
Yep.
It's between two other subdivisions. They have every right to develop and take their cattle off their property and do what they want with it. So it's the same thing. These can be good friends. They can be acquaintances. They can be a complete stranger. But when we look at the how come and why they should have that council seat, that's what we need to look at. And so you have to let go of all the personal relationships and try to clean off that paper or whatever they say.
Yeah, that's got
to
be hard. It's got to be hard. She's Natalie Larson, St. George City Council, in studio with us this morning. Natalie, when this all goes down, you have a new council member. Then it's like, I know there's a lot of, just threw my pen on the ground. I know there's a lot of people that have run for city council that have not been that didn't get voted in that were runners up in the primary or elsewhere. When you guys get these and you know these people that have run against you, do you kind of look at, okay, this person's going to offset where I'm at? Or I'm curious what the, I don't know, what the thought process is on the backside of it. Is it really only just, I got to do what's best for the city and not, you know, well, I wonder what Michelle's going to be thinking, or I wonder what Steve's going to be thinking, or I wonder what Danielle's going to be thinking. Like, you guys don't have any opportunity to really collaborate.
That's
right?
It comes across the dais.
Yeah.
It comes across that.
Yeah.
That is, we should never deliberate about anything
behind closed doors.
Behind closed doors, ever. And this is one of those things. And it's really important that we do that. That's what keeps government honest.
Yeah. I like it. If you want to run for this, if you're thinking, hey, I want to do something great for my city, I want to get on the city council, the application period is open now?
No, not till after Jimmy is sworn in as mayor.
Okay. So on the 5th is when the application period opens.
That's when all the information will be on the
right
website and be
okay.
Exactly correct.
Okay. All right. So go check out keep an eye on that website, January 5th, when that's going to go down. It's quite a process, and we want to make sure that, you know, everybody has a chance to do it. Get on there. I know several people that are going to be in that pool. And
28 people last time.
Right.
Me included.
Yep. Yep. And, you know, and, I love that you're so involved in, like, every time we chat, you're on the way to something. I wanted to have you on yesterday, and you said, I'm on the way to a meeting with the builders at the Sun Bowl.
With Hughes Construction.
Yeah.
They're doing a magnificent job of keeping the ball rolling on that. And so we had a meeting with Shane Moore and Mark Goble, who are a Parks and Recreation,
yep,
and just making sure we have that all keyed in. And you're going to start, you've seen the electrical poles coming down, the big wood poles coming down.
Mm-hmm.
In the next week, they've removed the wires yesterday, but you'll start seeing dirt earthwork on January 5th as well.
Can't wait for that. If you have questions for Natalie from our St. George City Council, Natalie Larson in studio, you can text us. Phone number to text in is 435-261-4540. Andy used to give out his personal cell phone on the radio, and I mean, I guess I could do that. I have a 208 number still because I've had it forever when I was in Idaho Falls. But you can text in 435-261-4540. Coming up in the next segment, we'll have phones open for you to call in if you want to call in. If you're on your way somewhere, you can't text 673-5890, 673-5890. Getting back to the Sun Bowl, one of the things, I think you and I started having conversations, I don't know, whenever it was, when the Sun Bowl first started, you guys first started scratching the surface on doing some cool stuff at the Sun Bowl. You're like, you and I got a visit on having some awesome concerts. You're a country kid. If you could wave your magic wand and, and being on city council, you have some power, but you don't have all power, right? Obviously, that's the way it should be. If you could make it happen, who would be the first concert here country concert here at the Sun Bowl. If you could, I mean, don't go crazy. Be like Taylor Swift or, you know, Tim McGraw. But somebody within who we think would be a good fit for the size of Sun Bowl that you think we would like to have.
Well, all the people that I would like, probably we could do. Like, I would love to bring Toby Keith back to life.
Yes, that
would
be, I knew you were going to say that. I knew it.
I would love that. I would love Alan Jackson. You know, I'm one of those people. I don't know. And I am not in the know of what we could afford yet. You would know that more than I would.
Yeah. When I was in Idaho, the fair manager at the Eastern Idaho State Fair, Brandon Bird, used to call me every year as they were getting ready to go into that. And Susie's done it a little bit where they say, here's a list of who we're looking at. What do you think? And I'll say, no, no, no. And he always would say, don't ask me how much, just yes or no. And I'd say, okay, how much? Because it was a thing. Yeah. I think there's several artists I think would be great, but I think Jake Owen would be a great show locally. It's about the right size, you know, for the crowd he would bring. He's got great hits. I think Jake Owen would be great. Some people are like not country fans, like, who the heck is Jake Owen? What about Merle Haggard? You know? We want the Hag. 435-261-4540. I got a text for you. We will get to it here in a couple of minutes. But real quick, getting back to how did the meeting go yesterday? Shane, by the way, has the greatest hair in the city government.
He does.
I want to touch it. I want to touch his hair.
He'll allow you to do that.
Where are we at we're just barely getting the process. What's the outlook of when this thing will be completed? And are we looking like it's going to be, because when you start these things out, you go, here's what the end point is looking like. Are we still headed in that direction, or is it taking curves away from where it initially had thought we were going to be as far as size and amenities and that sort of thing?
Well, let me tell you, Hughes Construction has done an amazing job at staying on task, along with Shane. They have really worked this out, and Mayor-elect Hughes asked me to start sitting on the meetings a couple of weeks ago, and I've been really impressed with the process. They are working with the bleacher company on the daily. They have selected the grading company to start on January 5th, and it's an amazing process, but it is a weekly meeting to make sure everybody is on point. And it takes collaboration from our city partners, too, with our different departments that are making that happen, with, like, energy taking down those poles so quickly and rerouting some power for us. So it is a community effort.
I wonder what the process is of choosing bleachers. Like, what's the sit test feel like? It's like a Heine test. Like, oh, this one's too hard. This one's too soft. This one's just right. You know what I'm saying? I wonder what that is for everything. Anyway,
there's a process with that, with government. There's bidding. There's all that. There's talking to people. So they did talk to three different bleachers companies.
Are you surprised at how much things cost these days? I feel like anything that comes across the desk at the city council's six figures, no matter what. I don't care if it's a truck, a traffic light. Are you surprised how much things cost these days when it comes to running a city government?
Well, I think it's the same thing every one of us face at the grocery store.
Yeah.
Every process of our life. But I will tell you, days for bidding are 15 days, and then the bid's no good. Just because they are in the process of everything they have continues to change. So a lot of times bids will come in, and it's like, this is good for 15 days. And then...
Right.
I mean, across the board, not just with the city, but their products are changing all the time, too.
All right. She's Natalie Larson, St. George City Council in studio. We're going to take a quick break. We have texts coming in. You can text in your questions for Natalie Larson with the St. George City Council, 435-261-4540. We'll open the phones next segment as well. So feel free to just text us, or you can call us up. Natalie's going to take some of your thoughts. And we'd like to know about a couple of different things we have going on here in our city government. We'll get to that coming up. KDXU News Time, 9:27.
On a bright Hawaiian Christmas day.
KDXU News Time is 9:31. This is Southern U Talk with Dale Desmond. I have Natalie Larson in studio from the St. George City Council. Good morning. We're going to get into, by the way, the most important thing we're going to talk about today, your list of top Christmas movies you'll be watching over the Christmas holiday. We'll get to that. I know you've got so many. I know you're thinking, I can't talk about those movies on the radio. Come on. The lines are open. You can text us. You can text us at 435-261-4540. You got a question for Natalie Larson. If you're using the old text line, it's different. The old text line was Andy's cell phone, his personal cell phone. He'll call me later on in the day and be like, hey, what were you guys talking about at whatever time of the day? He's only getting half of the conversation, which makes me wonder, are you not listening anymore, Andy? What the heck is that? You can call us up 673-5890, 673-5890. Text coming in. Let's talk about prayer over the city on New Year's Day. This is a fun tradition that we do here in Southern Utah.
Yeah, the Interfaith Council is behind that. I think there'll be 13 different prayers. It's not a moment to preach, it's a moment to pray. But it's a beautiful meeting and such a good spirit. And I think the interesting thing, you know, I think Interfaith Council has 17 different religions represented. If they can get along, we all can get along.
Yeah.
They see things differently, but together they come for the betterment of our community. And really, if you listen to Jimmy Keston, he'll say that's the Dixie spirit. That's the thing that has carried this community, is that grit and faith and the coming together. And I know you're involved with civic clubs, and we see each other at different events for that. But that's another thing. If you want to belong, if you've moved here, you don't know where you fit in, get to a civics club.
Absolutely.
Join them for lunch one day. A lot of times they're putting things online of events they're hosting.
Mm-hmm.
You look at Veterans Day when they put the flags up. We just had wreaths over the city. So many great people there that day laying wreaths on our veterans' graves and getting to know each other and get to know each other's faces besides the grocery store.
Absolutely. And they're not just lunch meetings. I know there's a lot of the civic groups meet in the mornings. Mm-hmm. I know the St. George Dixie Sunrise, they are at it's the hotel over by the Dixie Center. I can't remember which one. The Holiday Inn Express. They're at the Holiday Inn Express on Thursday mornings. There's the Elks Lodge right up here on the hill behind us. We've got
Exchange Club.
Exchange Club is awesome. Neil is one of my favorites. Such a good dude. He's beating that drum for Exchange Club all the time. St. George, the St. George Rotary Club.
The OG.
The OG is what I like to call it. When I was president twice, once on purpose, once not on purpose, I would call it the St. George Rotary Club. We meet on Mondays at noon.
And I think the thing that it is, like you just talked about, when you serve with people, you get to know them on a different level. Not just about lunch, not just about breakfast, but you watch Neil and they cook scones forever for the marathon or the half marathon. I mean, they're everywhere. Elks Club helps with the JAG program with the city, with the hoop shoot. So there's something when you serve with people, you get to know them on a different personal level.
Yeah.
And then you get to know those people in the community. We also have great things with the school district where they help. Within our high schools, they have teen centers where we have the homeless population being able to come in and do their personal laundry and take a shower where they may not be able to do that. But they need volunteers to be in that room as well, and then some treats for that as well. So find a place to serve, but a great place to start is coming to prayer over the city and just getting to know the faces there.
Yeah. What I like about it is seeing, and I know Southern Utah isn't, I've lived all over the country and I know that Southern Utah is not the most visually diverse in the world, but if you get to know people, you start to find out that, well, not everybody's exactly the same. I think a lot of people say that. They'll move here and go, gosh, everybody's the same. Everybody's white, everybody's Mormon. And it's really not. I mean, you inside of all of those, you know, brackets, there's a lot of diversity in there. And there's people from all walks of life that have found their way here, that have cool stories to tell, that have that want to hear your stories. And that's what I love about being, you know, I'm sure you get to hear those on City Council. You get to hear all these cool stories about people.
I get to watch it. But that's part of attending those events as a City Council person. I get to see that. Baby, if you haven't been to our new City Hall, I want you to know that everybody is involved, invited, and I believe it's January 17th. It's Heritage Days.
We're verifying
the date.
See, that's what I love about you, Natalie, is that you do a great job at verifying before we go forward with it.
Yeah, the grand opening will be at 11 a.m. that morning, and then at noon we're going to have root beer floats and all that. But we just want the community to come in, enjoy that space. It does belong to the city. And then let's talk about the parking garage downtown.
Yeah.
I know people don't think it's beautiful. I understand that. But there's 304 parking spaces that are for our residents, visitors to our community to use 24/7 free parking. I travel through town frequently, and at night I've been through the garage and the parking structure. And it's had over 100 people park after 5 p.m. and then to various events, restaurants, whatever. And then we still have availability through the parking structure where Southern Utah Title is that people can park downtown. So we want it to be inviting space for our residents and our visitors. And then we have other projects coming in. There is a development coming in behind Smith's. I think it's 311 West.
Mm-hmm.
That will be part apartments and part commercial. Then we have the 100 West project coming in that will be condominium, apartments, commercial, and then another hotel coming in, on 200 East. So we're going to see some development downtown.
There's that open lot there behind Pioneer Square.
Ancestor Square. That's the 100 West project.
Yes, I'm excited to see how that comes along. I lived for a while in Charleston, South Carolina, and it's a big city, but they call it the Holy City because there's so many churches and the cityscape. If anybody's ever been to Charleston, it's one of those like best kept secrets. Like, I've never thought to go there, and you go there and you're like, holy crap, this is amazing. We're going to move here. The cityscape are all churches, like 300-year-old churches. And so I think people are like, well, what's our skyline going to look like here in St. George? Like, is it going to be parking structures? You know, I think there's some concern there. You know, what are we going to be if you were to draw an outline to the cityscape? Seattle, you've got, you know, the Space Needle, and Salt Lake, you got the temple. Is that what are we going to be known for? I'm curious.
Well, it's taken a process to get these projects approved because we wanted a setback. We didn't want a canyon effect when we drove down the boulevard. We wanted to be some setbacks, maybe some opportunity for outdoor restaurants. And then there is a lot of open space with the 100 West project and a parking garage to be able to park those things. I've been tagged the parking czar because I am the grandma of seven littles, and you know, if we go anywhere, yep, I don't want to park a mm-hmm. mile away.
Yep.
And I also have a 95-year-old mom who there is a lot of handicap parking, but for her to walk two blocks is a lot. So I think we have to be thoughtful for our businesses that they have adequate parking. And then if you're somebody who comes home from work, that you have a parking stall when you get that with these multi-use projects. And I think by having, you know, commercial during the day, then the residents can come home at night and park there. I think that's where we're going to reach the middle of that can work for everybody.
Yeah.
And then have that activity downtown, because if you've noticed the boulevard, it has kind of gone vacant.
There's been some spots coming open. Yeah.
Yeah. And so hopefully we can get some motion on the east end of the boulevard as well.
Yeah, that's kind of one of my thoughts is, you know, what are we thinking about? How do we make it affordable? And a lot of stuff people go, we'll text in and say, hey, how are we going to make life affordable in Southern Utah? And there's only so much really that a city council can do, right? It's not like you can go, that's it. We're, slashing prices on, you know, on rents so we can fill up these lots. There's only so much.
That's the private sector.
Yeah. Do you feel like people come to you as a city council and go, there's problems that I think the city council should fix? And how do you guys handle that? When you go, well, that's not something that we really know how to handle, or that's not in our area of jurisdiction.
Let's go back to the beginning when I came to St. George. My dad was athletic director at Dixie Junior College. He was hired to be athletic director at Dixie Junior College. My dad drove bus during the summer or drove truck during the summer as the athletic director. And my mom taught school. And, you know, and my mom tended kids sometimes. So it was, and we had swamp cooling back then.
Oh, man.
So it wasn't like, it was like how it is now where everybody wants to live here.
Yeah.
So, and my husband and I always have both been employed. So I can't say it's ever been really affordable to live here. Yeah. I can't say that we've just had one job why we've lived here. Most people have to have two incomes to live here, even prehistoric days when I was a little here. So I think sometimes we have to look at that. We have to let the market take care of itself.
Yeah.
But I think having these different mixed-use projects gives another opportunity. If you go out to Desert Color, it's a whole different look than we have downtown.
For sure, for sure.
So we've allowed some different kind of development, mixed-use zoning, to allow
something for everybody.
More density. You know, and with these higher rise projects, we're going to see a little of that downtown as well. But thoughtfully back away from this curb so it doesn't feel like you're going down the Grand Canyon and you go down the boulevard.
I like it. She's Natalie Larson for a few more minutes here in studio. If you guys have any thoughts, you have any texts, you have any questions, you can call in 673-5890. Or you can text in our new text line. Again, it's not Andy's cell phone, although I do wonder why he doesn't send me the texts that he gets on his phone. You can text in the new text line, 435-261-4540 is the number to text in. You can text in if you have thoughts on things happening around St. George. You wanted to ask Natalie Larson about St. George City Council. Let's take a quick break. We will come back here in a couple minutes. I want to know about what's your go-to Christmas recipe that everyone's like, oh, Grandma Natty, she's bringing it. I'm excited for it. We'll talk about it in a couple of minutes. KDXU News time is 9:43. Good morning. You have to let that rock and roll. KDXU News time, 9:45. This is Southern U Talk with Dale Desmond. I got Natalie Larson from the St. George City Council in studio. We've talked a lot about things coming up for 2026. Is there anything else you're like, gosh, we've got so many cool projects going right now. But we've also had a lot. Looking back at 2025, what are some things that you are proud of that you're like, gosh, look what we did. Look what we got done in 2025. You talked about we got a new fire truck recently. We've got the new fire station open, the new city council chambers. 2025 has been pretty awesome.
It has been pretty, pretty awesome. 3000 East project finally got finished, which I saw on the daily. That took a long time. I think when you look back at the year, there was a lot of good things that happened. Probably one of the best decisions as a city council we made is buying that SWAT vehicle that we saw used on 3000 East when we had that awful day with all that shooting going on. And I think, you know, it is Traffic Tuesday, and I cannot say enough good about our police department. They're out there on the daily protecting and serving each one of us and going in when it's not easy or not comfortable, but they're trained for it. And Chief Whitehead and his team really do a great job at training their officers to keep a cool head and watch out for each other and each other's families. But one thing that just came up, like I said, I have a group of little teeny grandchildren under 5 years old. And one thing that I've continually talked to them about is our police officers and our firefighters and how much I love and respect them. But sometimes parents put fear into that if their kid's seatbelt's not on, they don't have a helmet on, those kind of things. So they're teaching their children to fear the police department.
Right.
When really they're our rescuers and their children may need it that one day. So I'd just like to ask our residents, whether you're a grandma like me or a mom and dad or a cousin or uncle, don't threaten them that the police are going to come get you or arrest me or anything like that. But just like there are helpers and it's our responsibility to keep everybody safe. And then the other thing is there's going to be a lot of two-wheel things coming up here in the next few days.
Thank you.
You know, remind your kids to put on that helmet, a little bit about bike safety and reflective gear and lights on your bikes. I mean, it can save us all a lot of heartache and
That we just had, was it earlier this week or last week? It was last week. We had that 13-year-old girl hurt on that scooter, and I talked to Sheriff Nate about this last week as well. In fact, I think it was the next day or the same day that this young girl was hurt, and he said, these things. These two-wheel bikes, these battery-powered, I can't remember what they're called.
Surons
go 50 miles an hour. Do you guys have any ordinances on that yet?
There is state laws.
There are state laws, okay.
Supersede city laws on those things. And it just comes down to, kids want to have fun. We want them to have fun. We just have to all be smart about it. And we, as drivers, need to look for those littles in the road.
And they're sometimes not littles, because my son, the day he turned 18, bought this, like, I don't know what size it was, but it just looked huge, crotch rocket. And I just thought, it's the last time I'm ever going to see my kid. And he didn't crash it, but he laid it down his second day. And I think it humbled him quick. And then the day he sold it, it didn't come fast enough. So I got a quick text here that I think is an interesting question from, I don't see a name on it, it's probably farther up. Are there any plans for the new rec center? And with all that's being built, it would be worthy of consideration. What is being done with the old city building, the rec center? New rec center would be cool. I think there's a lot that goes into gyms here in a lot of gyms that
in the
are
private
around,
sector
in the private sector, exactly. And so if you think about it, the city is kind of in competition that way with the rec center. But you guys, it's not just the building itself, it's all the little programs that go on around that as well.
And we have phenomenal programs around that, and they're not necessarily in the rec center. My mom used to go to Silver Sneakers, which is a group of people that are fabulous to get together, exercise there on the regular. I don't see any plans in the near future to build a rec center. We have a lot of outdoor space,
a lot
of outdoor programs
for
that
sure,
we use. We build trails, we build parks. We're at, like, Washington Rec Center. It's great. It's a wonderful facility. They don't have the parks or the trails we do. And so it's just where that lands. And so I don't think we need to be in competition with the private sector, with those gyms at this point.
Yeah, and there's, it goes back to what we talked about a little bit ago, how let's say we're going to put in a new rec center, and then you'd say it's not coming, it's not, no plans as of yet, and who knows. But if you got a room full of treadmills, you got 10 treadmills, those things are, $800, $900, $1,000 a piece, depending on how you get them, right? That's 10 grand just in treadmills in that one spot.
And so the building, the employees, the heating, the cooling, all those other things.
The Wi-Fi. And
we have heavily invested in our parks. And we have
We
have a lot of programs that are, like a climbing program, biking. I mean, we have a lot of those kind of programs for youth. And I think there's an opportunity to that different than what Washington, because everybody loves Washington Rec Center.
Yeah.
But that's quite a debt they carry on that too.
Yeah. There's when you were talking about the parks, and when the brochure comes out, the booklet of all the programs, I swear sometimes it's like the old Sears Christmas book for me. I'm like, oh, this would be great to join a pickleball league, or oh, a softball league, or oh man, there's a hiking group that whatever, that all run through the city. I don't know if there's a hiking group, I'm just using that as an example. But I love flipping through that thing, and it's like a Christmas book. Like, ooh, I want to try this, I'm going to circle it, I'm going to dog ear this page. Talk about that. I mean, you guys, a lot of these programs, there's a lot of thought and consideration. You have a great team that heads that all up.
We do, and the art is the same way. Like right now, we're in the middle of the Super Bowl fundraiser for the art program, and residents get to go in. They had one on December 17th. I don't know where on the calendar, but it'll be on the city website. But if you've never thrown a pot before, you can go down to the rec center. They have a wheel down. That's another thing they do down there, is ceramics, and you can throw your own pot, and then
throw it.
Well, on the wheel. You know, like
throw your own pot. Is that pottery lingo?
I believe so.
I can throw my own pot.
And
I thought I'd get in trouble for that. I thought I'd go to jail for that.
Well,
but
after it's already fired, you might get that.
Okay, all right.
But then the Super Bowl fundraiser, they go up and you can buy your pot back. And they're just like little soup bowls. That's why it's
the Super Bowl. SOUPER, so we don't get in trouble.
Yeah. And
just
so then you get to go up there, buy some soup and a bread twist and buy a pot.
I love that. And it's all a fundraiser for the Arts Council.
Yes.
And just looking at all these different departments that the city puts out here to make a great place to live. I remember back in the day you played Sim City, and there's all these things that would pop up in Sim City. You ever play that? Do you remember that?
Yeah,
it was this whole video game where you'd have to learn to build this and build that in the right order and make sure that the morale was good in your little city. And you guys get to do it in real life.
But it is the residents. It is the residents. It's the Dixie spirit. And I think the more people engage with other people, especially this time of year, we have so many people who do not know their neighbors still, who haven't found their niche to feel like they belong. That's what people want. And so get out of your comfort zone, knock on your neighbor's door, introduce yourself, meet him at the mailbox, let him know where you live, because it is a safer community for all of us, a better community when we engage with each other.
That's a good point. I just moved into a place over kind of by the mall, and I come into work very early, 4:30 in the morning, and I pulled out of my garage, and I drove down the street, and I was like, I wonder if my garage closed, and I looped back around, and sure enough, my garage was open. And I was like, dang, that thing could have been open all day. No, but none of my neighbors know me yet. That's on me. I met my neighbor Robert, but he would have no way of getting
a
hold of me.
Shame on you!
I know. Thank you. I've been shamed by our city councilwoman.
Well, after living here my whole life, I moved into a new subdivision, didn't know anybody, and somebody's child went missing that night.
Oh.
And I realized, like, we don't know each other well enough, so I started the neighborhood GroupMe.
Yeah.
And so then we got to know each other that way.
Yeah.
And so then that way when something comes up, somebody has an extra part for something, some package got delivered wrong, at least we know each other that way, that we have hot cocoa twice a year.
Oh, shoot. I like it. Make sure I'm invited. I want to come to that.
You should start it in your own neighborhood. Get to know your own neighbors. You start it on your own driveway.
Me and Robert, buddy, we're doing it. A few more minutes here with city council person. Do you city council woman? How do you introduce yourself? I'm just on the city council.
I'm on the city council. But I am a woman.
Very much. She's great. One of my very favorites. Natalie Larson in studio for a few more minutes. Christmas, what do? Are you staying home? You have family coming? What's the plan? And what is the big, what is your jam? What is the one thing you make at the holidays that everyone's like, grandma's making it and we can't wait?
You know, I had the sweetest neighbor 30 years ago, and she shared her orange roll recipe with me.
Oh, I'm listening.
Oh, it's Marie Booth. It's the famous Dr. Booth's mom, but she lived next door to me, and she made the most fabulous orange rolls, and I make them, and I try not to make them very often because I love them. Everybody else loves them, so they get eaten quickly, but there's nothing better than that orange roll. When it comes out of the oven and drizzle that icing over the top of it, she taught me to make bread. She was such a wonderful neighbor.
Yeah.
And see, there you go again. There was probably 60 years difference in our age, but she was my favorite neighbor.
I love that. At Christmas, you have the littles coming over. You have family coming over. Christmas dinner. What's the plan for Christmas for you?
You know, I'm trying to be flexible. I'm trying to let my kids do their thing.
It's hard,
you know,
it'd be
easy to say, hey, come over, whatever.
Sure,
but, you know, they have their own little families trying to adjust to that one.
Yeah. And that's hard as I'm getting into that myself. I have two daughters that are married, and they've got their, you know, in-laws, families to go and visit and be a part of. And so sometimes there's multiple families in there. If you have families that have, you know, parents have split up and you've got mom and stepdad and dad and stepmom to go visit, it's a lot to juggle. But if you need someone to come over and eat a turkey, Natalie, I'm your guy.
Ham, not turkey.
That's what I said. I'll bring the ham, you bring the turkey. No, I'm kidding. All Christmas shopping's all done? Do you have it all done? Are you still out getting some last minute stuff?
We took a little trip at the first of December, the first few days of December, with our kids and our grandkids, and we called that Christmas.
I love it.
We experience over a gift, so that's what we did.
100%. I told my kids that's so funny. Same exact thing. I went up and visited my daughter in Rexburg a couple weeks ago for Thanksgiving. And instead of, we took a day trip to Jackson. I bought him a dryer. It was used. It wasn't that, you know, it was, it's working for him though. We went and picked it up and it was, it's worked for him.
But they're
going
to remember that trip absolutely more than if you gave him some Tonka toys, right?
I don't know. My son-in-law would love some Tonka trucks. He's a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, so he's kind of on the developmental end. I'm kidding. He's a great, great young man. He's wonderful. He loves me to death, and I'm super excited for them. But, yeah, I'm 100% the same way. I would much rather do experiences over stuff that's just going to collect dust. It's going to find a way to get broken, lose batteries, whatever. I'm exactly the same way. So, she's Natalie Larson. You can, come and check out the city prayer,
prayer over the city.
Prayer over the city, New Year's Day.
And join us on the 5th for the swearing in as well.
All right. Don't miss out on it, guys. All right. That's going to do it for Southern U-Talk. We're supposed to have Zach Renstrom on tomorrow. He's on the schedule. We're going to reach out, just double check and make sure that's going to happen. With the water meetings in Vegas, I'm interested to see how those things are going to be impacting us here in Southern Utah. She's Natalie Larson from the St. George City Council. Thank you, Natalie, for stopping in.
Thanks for having me.
You got it. Anytime, literally anytime. Because with my organization, you never know. KDXU News time is 9:59. Fox News is coming up. Have a good Christmas. All the
stars at night. From the Angelica's Mexican Grill Studio, KDXU St. George, KDXU FM, KDXU FM HD.